everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast community. Number 263. Am I right, Pat?
Yes, you are right.
I am correct.
Woo!
We got that right.
Once in a blue moon. So, this is a mini cast. We have someone sick and someone playing video games. So, it's a smaller cast than usual.
Let me guess.
Okay, okay.
My first two guesses don't count. So.
Okay.
Adam's playing video games.
Adam is playing video games. He's not here because he wanted to play Zelda. So we know where his priorities are. So just remember that when listening to him, people.
I don't think anybody listens to him.
That's true. I believe that. Yeah. I believe that. And then Josh wasn't feeling well, so he was kind of here, and then he left. So we won't hold that against him too much.
Hopefully he's not playing Zelda, too.
Well, he might be, but, you know. That's true.
At least he came up with a better excuse.
That's true.
Yeah. He put some effort and thought into it, so.
So, I'm Colin McMahon. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Pat.
Okay. Big cast.
Woo!
So, I have a couple things to talk about, so we'll get to Pat's news.
Branson.
Un momento.
Okay.
Por favor. One thing I want to say, the previews that came in last week, the Marvel previews, I noticed and was pointed out to me that there was a misprint. And for a lot of them, I don't know how many, but a lot of the ones I have left, I think it got up to page 15 and then the next pages repeated. So you missed about 8 pages in the front and then again 8 pages in the back. So I have replacements coming in next week. So if yours is messed up, please come swap it out. My main concern is in the early ones. Well, I mean, it's not good that they're missing in the back, but it was a lot of number ones and things that you might want to know about that weren't in there.
Marvel just tends to have multiple books for each character. So
right. No, I hear you.
Said, oh, okay.
Right. So
there's a new Generation X book, but
yeah, it might not have been in your preview.
No creative team.
That wasn't in this one, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if you got a bad one, I have the replacements coming in next week. Please come in and swap it because I don't want you to miss out on anything you might be interested in. Which leads into point B, is pre-order. If you see anything you want, let me know. I hear more and more from people saying that they just expect me to have it on the shelf because I always do. And then when I'm out and can't get more, they're bummed. And trust me, I never intend to sell out. But I more and more I'm having no requests for books.
Colin, I always thought you were a sellout.
So. Yeah, it happens. And just with the thing with the market being a little tighter, a little, you know, shorter, you know, books not quite selling what they were, I'm ordering less. You know, if I have one person asking for a book, I might only order 5 or 7 or 8 as opposed to, you know, if I had the 10 people that actually wanted it. Tell me they wanted it, then I would know enough to have them. So if there is something you want, and I mean, I do completely understand that...
I know, I'm just as guilty as
that. Well, that people don't want to commit as well. I completely understand that. You want to see the book. You want to see the reviews of it. I get it. But it's a little tougher on me. If you want something, let me know. Also, going into that, we use Comixology. As far as pre-ordering, you can go on there, set up an account. It tells you every book that's coming out. You could mark it, say, please hold this for me, and they send me a little note. Please use it. It costs me about $30 a month, and I only have really a handful of people that use it. I don't want to say religiously, but use it. Please, it's a free service to you that I pay for. See you, Tim. So, please use it, you know, give it a look. But you keep it updated if you do use it, because I know a lot of people use it, but then don't. And so I get confused sometimes. I'm looking at something like, pretty sure they dropped that, but it's still on their list. So, and then my last thing I want to talk about is, it was a little disappointing day yesterday when I walked over and by the quarter box, there was a bag and a board with nothing in it, $12 price tag on it. And basically what that tells me is somebody took a $12 book out of the bag, put it in between 4 quarter books and did the 5 for a dollar and got a $12 book for a dollar. So just, it was really kind of deflating. I do a lot of things here, and I just have a lot of faith in people and a lot of trust. I have a lot of people that, you know, will go 3 months between picking up their books, and I know a lot of stores are really quite strict about that. And, you know, 2 weeks and the books go back on the shelf, but I give people a little more leeway. And just, it just kind of, and I also had a problem where I had somebody I had been giving some leeway to. I'd been emailing saying, hey, you know, you want this stuff? Your folder's getting really thick, and responding, yeah, I want it, I'll be in. And then yesterday finally emailed me and said, no, I really don't want it now. And it had added up to $400 worth of stuff that I'm now eating that I'd ordered in.
Is any of it was stuff you can resell? Or
I can, but, you know, a lot of, you know, do I need an extra copy of Flash and Green Lanterns and Hal Jordan? You know, I don't need extras of these.
So it was stuff like that then?
Yeah, I mean, it was stuff. It wasn't oddball stuff, really. The only one in there that really bothers me is, not bothers me, but it's the I Hate Fairyland, but the expletive variant. That pretty much I was just ordering for people because I can't put it on the shelf and there's not a lot I can do with it. So now I have some copies of that I have to figure out what to do with. But eBay. It's just, well, yeah, but I mean, eBay, you'll sell them for a dollar. So if not, so it's just kind of, I do have faith in people and I try to have faith, but yesterday it was just kind of a real double whammy of being let down. So don't steal from me, you know, I do sales all the time. I do all sorts of things, and it was just very frustrating to see somebody, you know, literally basically stealing. So that's all I really have to say. Just those were my things.
Don't be a dick.
Yeah, don't be a jerk. So, Pat, was there any news?
There was a little bit of news. So, okay, maybe news is a strong word. Rumors.
There you go.
Fake news.
No, we're not going to go that far. The first one was that Jeff Lemire is leaving Marvel. But I never actually saw confirmation of that, just that he's not solicited in anything as in Marvel for writing. That maybe he's leaving, or maybe, you know, Geoff Johns isn't being solicited for anything in DC, but that doesn't mean he's leaving. But I found that interesting because Marvel doesn't have a lot of named guys at this point.
No, that was something I was seeing. Ryan Higgins was tweeting it, kind of going, they have Jason Aaron and they have Bendis and Soul still doing Daredevil, but he's off the Inhuman stuff now. So it's, from the days of the Architects, now it's kind of down to, okay, we got some guys. And it's... It's nice, some of these lesser-known people getting, books and getting an opportunity, which is great. But it does seem like every time you see DC lock up an exclusive, you kind of have to wonder, okay, why isn't Marvel? Marvel used to be the place to go, and even, Lemire, when he left Green Arrow, he was in the middle of a good run on Green Arrow, he left to go to Marvel, and maybe, all isn't as rosy as they make it sound at Marvel. Who knows?
But they'll never say because they're not.
No, and I think they do sign like a non-disclosure. You can't say anything bad about Marvel, and that's just evident because that Kelly Sue and Matt Fraction would have spouted off.
Yeah,
because they obviously did not leave on great terms. At least Fraction didn't. I don't know about Kelly Sue, and has never said anything. Where it seems when people leave DC, they don't really care and they spout off.
Yeah. Mm. So sometime in the fall, Marvel is going to do a soft relaunch, I guess is the best way, the Make Mine Marvel initiative. However, instead of going back to all new number ones, they're going to go back to legacy numbers.
Which I have no problem with. I prefer legacy numbers.
But I kind of wonder, which legacy numbers are they going to go to?
Oh, they'll add every single thing they can.
Like Deadpool.
Right. They'll add probably every miniseries.
Yeah, so
everything.
I mean, you're going to be on Deadpool issue, 1,238.
Right.
Well, hell, Action Comics
just
came out at 975 today.
Right.
But
I don't mind that. But normally they only do that when they get close to
a
landmark issue.
Because, Fantastic Four did that. Right before it was canceled.
Well, they all did. Yeah. Spider-Man did it right before it got to 700. Mm-hmm. I think it suddenly jumped up. They did. I remember when it was 500 because they had relaunched it and it was like at, you know, 43 and then all of a sudden 500. Yeah. So, I mean, I have no problem with legacy number. It's a lot easier to keep track of things because there is still that big collectability aspect. And I know it's frustrating for me. I know I've mentioned this before. When somebody comes in, hey, do you have New Avengers number 7? And I have to go, which one?
Yeah, which one?
It's a little bit chaotic in the back issue market because of that. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, buying issue 312. You know,
yeah, you don't have to read the first 311 right. issues to know what's going on.
But if you're coming in at issue 4, you probably do want 1, 2, and 3, and they might be out of print. I can't get any more.
Yeah.
Things like that. So, yeah.
It's a great idea. I hope they stick with it, though.
Yeah.
But I can see them going right. back to number ones in yeah. here.
But we don't, you know, every time you have a writer change, you don't need a new number one.
Yeah.
That leads me to wonder what they're going to do with Moon Knight. Because Lemire did say 14 is his last issue. And do we need yet another Moon Knight number one? You know, there's no crime in issue 15. There really isn't.
Well, but there was really no need to end it.
Right.
You know, I don't know, maybe they're going to give the character a rest for a little bit. I mean, I don't know how well Moon Knight sells, so...
It does fine, but I think it definitely is selling as well as it is right now because of Lemire and Smallwood. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm a Moon Knight fan from way back when it was Doug Mensch and Bill Sienkiewicz. So,
mm-hmm.
I've been a fan of the character for a long time. So, we'll see where it...
Back's Werewolf by Night, or...
I love Werewolf by Night. Actually, I just got the omnibus in real cheap, and I'm very, very tempted to take it home.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first books... I don't know, I probably told this story before, but one of the first books I remember buying myself... was from a comic book vending machine. And yes, and you know what? It's funny because I found them online. They did exist where it was basically a book. You put in a quarter or whatever it was. You pulled the thing and it fell down to the slot.
Like,
exactly like a cigarette machine.
Wow. Okay.
So, and I remember, I forget what it was. It's like I didn't want any of them, but I got this one. But I more wanted to see what was behind it type of thing. So I bought this one. And it was Werewolf by Night. It was in the 30s, and I remember it had Tatterdemalion in the sewer reaching up through a manhole and grabbing Werewolf by Night's ankle.
Okay.
And it scared the heck out of me, and I was always afraid of manholes and what was down in the sewer because of that. But, I mean, this was early 70s, so I was probably 6, 7,
okay.
you know, when I got this. But it was funny just having this memory of this comic book vending machine and going, okay, I must have been delusional. And then one day... somebody on Facebook shared a picture of one, and it was one of those
okay.
moments of, I wasn't insane. It did actually exist.
Do you remember where the machine was?
No, it would have been somewhere between Chicago and Detroit, because that was the only place we ever went, really, was... because
you know, if it was in, like, a grocery store...
at a rest stop, or like a, you know, a rest stop that had some food or something, because my grandmother lived just across the border of Detroit in Canada. And grew up in Chicago, so we made that trip a lot.
Uh-huh.
So it was probably somewhere along there.
Okay.
I remember I'd always get the little three comics in a bag thing. I got the first appearance of Kitty Pryde in one of those.
Okay.
And it was funny because I don't know if I'd been how long I'd been collecting, but this was at the part where I was beyond reading and I was collecting. And I knew enough to know that that was an important, you know, this was an important issue.
I would get those at, like, Hills or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, DC ones. But it didn't have the DC logo on it. It had the...
well, the Whitman, probably.
It was Whitman.
But I remember getting that in one of those and going, this is an important book. I can't believe it was in there. So, who knows how old I was. I don't remember when I started collecting. But, sorry, I air-quoted that. But yeah, I remember getting that.
Kind of told people you were air quoting that.
The what? Oh, my inflection. Okay, yeah. Good. So Werewolf by Night has a little, you know, a soft spot in my heart because of that. Yeah, that's like we were talking about Man Thing in the new Man Thing book, and Man Thing has a little bit only because I got into Howard the Duck, and his first appearance was in Man Thing. So searching that out, and then. Just over the course of things, finding Man-Thing issues in, you know, 50-cent boxes and things like that. So I have a fair, you know, I don't remember reading them, but I knew enough about Man-Thing. So when this issue is like, oh, and then, ooh, so.
Yeah, gotcha. So, interesting thing that apparently Magneto is going to be joining Hydra during Secret Empire.
Right. So, now, so, the question is he or was it a variant cover? But, yeah.
Okay. Did they retcon his background? Because
no.
I don't think someone that survived concentration camps would then
now,
join Hydra.
One of the things I did see, now granted it was Nick Spencer tweeting this, but he's saying that Hydra is not Nazis and that they are
yeah.
separate. So.
And I'm 6 foot tall.
You grew up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hear you, and I can honestly probably say no one thought that through. There's a lot of not thinking throughs going on out there in the world right now.
Yeah.
So,
I watched the news.
That may have been one of those type of things. I don't know.
Okay.
To be completely well, no. Go ahead.
No, you're.
No. Keep. No, no. I'm just saying. I have a little chat now that I think about it.
Okay.
Just when you're done, just
okay.
Not a vent or a rant, but just a little
okay.
observation.
Couple movie things. So, Wonder Woman doesn't come out until, I think,
June
or July.
The first weekend in June.
And there's already talk of an R-rated extended version.
Okay.
Which...
You have to wonder, did they film that? Or...
Well, but... Right, that's what I don't get. The Batman vs. Superman and Suicide Squad both had the same problems with editing. And if they're already planning, you know, are they planning on putting out a shit movie just to turn around and you know,
release
double,
it? Yeah.
You know, here's the problem: DC has not done well in the movies. You know, in this new relaunch, and this is Wonder Woman's first appearance on screen, or you know, live action. I wouldn't play that game.
Yeah.
I would just put out a good movie and
yeah.
let it happen. So I hope that was just a rumor and not something that's true, because if it is, that does not
yeah.
bode well for that movie.
Yeah.
You know, it almost makes me say, you know what, I'll skip it and I'll wait for the R-rated version to come out.
That's too bad, because they really have to get Wonder Woman right.
Yeah, I mean...
Going forward with their slate of movies.
And, you know, here's the thing. I had apprehension about Gal Gadot. Until the scene in Batman and Superman where Doomsday throws her, she gets up and smiles. At that point, I'm like, she gets this character 100%. And you know, she looks terrific. You know, it wasn't a look thing. It was, is she going to get the character, or is she just going to, you know, no, she gets it.
Yeah.
And that was...
Yeah. And I really like her accent, too, which I think is a different take on Wonder Woman, but a Wonder Woman that makes sense.
Yeah, she's not American.
Right.
Yeah.
She may wear the red, white, and blue.
Right.
She's not an American. So, and the other rumor that I heard, and this is, you know, kind of scary, was that the combined budget for the Avengers Part 3 and 4 is going to be $1 billion.
Yikes.
Wow.
So, you know... The law of diminishing returns. The first one went, I think, was $1.3 billion. The second one was, I think, over $1 billion, but not. It didn't do the first numbers. That's either a lot of faith or I don't know.
It's a lot of salary, I think.
Well, yeah, and that's, you know, that's part of it, certainly, and I think there's a lot of CGI. Thanos, obviously, is a CGI character. You know, Groot, Rocket, they're all going to be in it. They're all CGI. I get that, but that's a staggering amount of money. Again, I don't know if that's $1 billion for production or if that's $1 billion combined with marketing. But if that's $1 billion production, you know, then figure probably another $500 million in marketing over the two movies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, and unless their thoughts are they'll break even on the third one, and then everything they make on the fourth one is gravy. But I know they're filming them back to back, but that's... one gets released in 2018, one in 2019. I got to imagine that the stockholders would not appreciate the idea of taking a bath in 2018 to make their money back in 2019. It's just interesting. Yeah, so that's all I got for that.
Okay. My only thought, I forget what it was. Oh, it was during the Coast to Coast Comic-Con thing. I got stuck here late. One of the things I mentioned, it was, I was leaving, at 7, but there was more.
Yeah.
I had people here till 8:30, so I got to see all the Marvel the Marvel presentation, and things became really, really clear as they were talking. Now, it was Slott and David F. Walker and then someone else, I forget, like an editor or something. And it was just like Slott and Walker were going back and forth about how awesome their pitches were at the retreat, and they can't wait to see this and everything. And two things came out of this for me. One, they're really excited about their own things, and it's... I think part
of it
is...
Oh,
it's great, but I think one of the things is everybody... The guys in the circle are all very excited and very supportive. Maybe too much so that things aren't...
As rosy as they...
Well, things aren't as fleshed out as they should be. It's like, oh, that sounds like a great idea, and they run with it, but they don't look at the practicality of it. Does it make sense in the bigger picture? Does it make sense in the universe? Is it marketable? Because sometimes, a great idea...
Yeah.
Isn't necessarily marketable. And one of the things that dawned on me is I think a lot of these things, these guys make a pitch and they're automatically given it, and we don't necessarily need that book. Just because you had a great pitch doesn't necessarily mean that we need that book. I'm sure it was a great pitch for the Black Panther and crew, but did anybody sit down to think, do we really need this book? Is there a market for this book?
Yeah,
and I don't know if there is.
If there's a black hero in Harlem, let's go with Luke Cage.
There is, but Luke Cage, the new Luke Cage book, is then going to be set in New Orleans.
I know, I get that.
And it's just like, yeah, it's just, I have a feeling that basically stuff that gets pitched and it's just kind of everything is greenlit. And I don't know that everything really needs to be greenlit.
I've read some of David Walker stuff that
mm-hmm.
I've really
Yeah, you
I
like
really
the Shaft?
The
yep.
Shaft
yep.
books. I didn't like his Cyborg book. I didn't read Dark Hawk or any of that
mm-hmm.
stuff. I guess I slept on it. But, I got to tell you, the Cyborg book really turned me off. And, it doesn't mean he can't write. It just, he's not writing what I want to read. It's like any book. I know you're going to talk about America later. I'm sure there's a market for that book. But is that the same market for people that are coming into a comic book store every Wednesday? Maybe, maybe not.
Right.
That might do better, as a trade graphic novel or something like that that you could put on the shelves at a Barnes & Noble versus direct market comic books.
Yep.
Just a thought.
Yeah. But it was very funny listening to them talk and how giddy they were about the things that were going, and I'm just like, okay. The one thing that troubled me was...
Dan Slott was super enthused about the Silver Surfer book.
And they're coming... it was funny. The one that came out today, I think, was due out in October, November, because it had the big number one on the cover.
Okay.
So it was one of those. It's like, okay. Now, I don't know if that's him or if that's Allred. But, yeah, I don't know if would Allred take on a new DC book if he's struggling to finish the art on this. I have no idea. One thing that concerned me when he was talking about, he's like, we already, 25 comes out next week. I think he said 26 and 27 were already done and in the can. And then, they're working on 28, and then he said 29 ties into Secret Empire. I'm like, oh, no. Because I knew that both Captain America's and Thunderbolts were tying into Secret Empire, which makes sense. Those okay. You got
yeah.
Bucky, you got the Caps. That makes sense. Doctor Strange and Deadpool are also tying in. Okay, you tie Deadpool into everything. I get that. And then, but now if Spider-Man's crossing over, that kind of opens things up to a much bigger
yeah.
crossover thing. And I think people are really done with that. They don't like... If you're not reading Secret Empire, which I don't have a lot of faith in, only because my cap numbers are dropping,
yeah.
Civil War did not end on a great note that even people, I think, that got Civil War might not jump in on this. And then you're going to start tying in all your books. That could lead to more jumping off, like if the Avengers books tie in and things like that.
Yeah.
So we'll see, but that was a little scary when he said that. I just want books to...
Yeah, especially these new X-Men books, if they go right into Secret Empire.
Right, exactly. I mean, you're launching a new book in April, I think it is, then to have that, so... Or May. April, I think. Yeah. We'll see, but that was a little disheartening.
Yeah, they were supposed to be in March, it'd be May.
Well, no, I already ordered a gold and blue, so.
I thought they were just in this month's preview.
They were in last month's preview.
Oh, okay. It all runs together.
Tell me about it. It all runs together. It blurs. I haven't even cracked open this month's preview yet. Well, the order was just due last Thursday, so I have some time. Oh, sorry. CP. But, yeah, so that's all. I really didn't watch much of the Coast to Coast Comic Con. We were busy. It was a nice, really, really busy Saturday. So
that's
I enjoyed that. Just at the end, it was like I had one customer in here from like 7 to 8:30. And I was just kind of, he was, you know, shopping. And it was great. You know, he's a guy who spends a lot of money, but he does take a lot of time. And, but he got like a foot worth of stuff out of the half-off trades and stuff, so...
Oh, yeah, I remember you sent... Yeah,
I was just, it was fine. I didn't, not thrilled to be here an extra hour and a half, but it was... I'm happy to be here.
You made that extra hour and a half worth of
work. Oh, absolutely. But so I was basically just sitting at the counter, just kind of...
watching it.
Yeah. So, that's all I got.
Dave, did you see Logan?
I didn't see Logan yet.
Okay, so we'll wait, because I'm sure the other two will want to talk about it, so... real mixed reviews here today. Two people really didn't like it.
Really?
And
I've heard nothing.
Most everybody else, people did like it. Yeah,
I loved it.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Probably my favorite of all the X-Men movies they've done.
Wow.
Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart nailed it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the little girl,
she was great.
Laura
Keene, was great.
Or
Daphne.
Daphne. That played X-23. Was really good. I mean, for a child actress.
Might just be the wind.
Yeah. Just the wind. Or...
all we are is dust and wind.
Yeah, I think it's just wind.
Yeah. So you want to talk about books then?
Yeah.
Dave, what'd you read?
Let's go to Royal City.
Yes.
Number one.
I read that. I know Josh read that.
Josh isn't here.
I know, but he was excited to talk about it. But he's not here, so he doesn't count anymore.
So he's not all that excited.
Go, I'm not jumping all over you this time.
We've got less than half a chance now of someone jumping in on me with Josh and Adam not here. But anyway, Royal City, this was excellent. This is Jeff Lemire writing and drawing back to his real-life roots. I mean, when I first started coming here, Colin's recommendation of Essex County was like one of the first things I read.
Yeah.
When I started coming here. And this is kind of a return to that kind of storytelling.
Yes, absolutely.
But there's a weird, some kind of, I don't know, supernatural element to it or something weird going on.
There might be something that I'm just wondering if it's just how these people remember or envision. Yeah. It's kind of hard to say it without giving it away, but we might as well give it away. It's been out for a week now.
This town, Royal City. It's like a factory town. It's about the Pike family, and the kids are coming back. Their dad has a stroke, and the kids are coming back. And there's three of them. One of them's like a writer, and
but why he has the stroke is kind of cool too.
Yeah,
but yeah. So there's a writer. The daughter is kind of works for like a land developer. Mm-hmm. And then the third one is kind of a ne'er-do-well.
Yeah.
He works at the town factory kind of when he's not drunk and actually makes it to work. And her husband is like works at the factory as well, as like a supervisor at the factory.
Yeah.
The daughter. It basically starts off... there's a really interesting thing. There's a narration going through it throughout the whole book that's interesting. But it starts off with the writer in the car talking to his editor. Yeah, the book's done. I got all the notes and everything. I just got to put it together. Can you give me an advance? Things like that. He's written a couple other books. One was successful, another one wasn't. And I guess this book is late. But he is, I guess, driving back home already. Yeah. He's on his way back to Royal City. And he looks down at a notebook, basically, he's looking at the notebook where all the notes are. Then it goes to Mom and Dad, and they kind of have a little fight, I forget what it's about, and he goes back out into his workshop, because that's where, I guess he goes, I'm going to my workshop, I want to be alone.
He eats potato salad.
Yeah. And he has all these radios, like these old-fashioned, not old-fashioned, but older style, like 50s, 60s. Yeah.
Okay.
And all different styles. You kind of get the impression that's this thing he works on them and tinkers with them. And he's tinkering with one, and all of a sudden it's going, Dad? Daddy? And he says, Thomas, I think is the name. And that's when he has his stroke.
Yeah.
So you know something's up. And then it switches to, I think, at the hospital. There's a scene at the hospital. And wife is praying over him with like a chaplain. He was not a minister or anything, but just a chaplain. And she calls him Tommy.
Yeah.
And you kind of go, well, that's odd. Why would he name two characters Tommy? Yeah. That was my initial thinking. Because that's just going to lead to confusion.
Before that, too, when Patrick is on the road, he sees a kid standing in the middle of the street.
Right. And stops.
And he gets out and says, Tommy?
Yeah. So
and runs around trying to find him.
Yep. And then they wanted to tell the other brother about Dad having a stroke, and they would have told him when he came to work, but he didn't come to work that day. And then they show him, he's sitting drinking. I don't think he names him, but he's sitting drinking in his apartment with somebody who's, he's at a bar. They're at the bar and they're talking, and then he's drinking in the apartment. And then they do the pitch at the factory where the other sister's trying to get them to sell the factory so that they can turn it into like riverfront housing type of thing.
Yeah.
And there's a little conflict there because the husband is a foreman, I think, at the factory. So if she's successful, he's out of his job. But they'll be better off, but he resents that then she'll be the more successful. And there's a little resentment there. And then it gets a little surreal where she goes home and there's a little kid and it's like, okay, Tommy, what do you want? And mac and cheese. So she makes mac and cheese for him.
Mac and cheese.
So, and then it ends with basically Tommy is how all these people remember him or envisioning him. Because then it shows her sitting by herself eating mac and cheese. Like, it's one panel with him there and then the next panel showing he's not really there.
Right.
And that the minister is not really there. That's just how Mom is envisioning Tommy would have grown up to be the perfect child, be the minister. And then the drinking buddy was Tommy.
Yeah.
And then the last thing it shows you is that the notebook that he's looking at on the seat was Tommy's notebook from high school. And then I think the very last scene is the gravestone. And and it's all the versions of Tommy standing behind the gravestone.
That's great.
Which was really neat. And then you turn to turn the page, and the narration that has gone through the whole book is basically the first page in his notebook. And it's all the words that he had written down in his notebook, but it had been sprinkled as narration throughout the entire issue. It was just really, really cool. And then the very last page was he put a Spotify playlist together.
Yeah.
Where he said, this isn't what... It didn't inspire him, but those were the songs he was listening to as he was drawing the issue. So it was just kind of neat. I just wish I'd known about that before, because I'm like, well, I don't want to listen to this and reread the issue. Yeah. It would have been really cool. So I tried to point that out to everybody that bought it.
He's supposed to put that in every issue now, too.
Okay, cool. And just neat little thing. And it's just funny that we had just gotten Spotify at home, because my daughter wanted it. That's what she asked for Valentine's Day, was the premium Spotify, which is like $15 a month, but no ads.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, I've been playing around with that a lot. Okay. But so it was just kind of neat. Oh, I can listen to this now.
That's not the only book that does, like Rockstars, they've been doing it.
Okay.
When David Walker did Shaft, I know he had it in the back of that.
Yeah, it was just something kind of neat.
Other books I've seen it in.
Yeah, it was just really neat. But a really neat book. You can tell it's another very personal probably not his story, but it's a story of family and of loss and things like that, which is really neat because, Essex County just destroyed me. I haven't been able to finish it yet. That second volume just hit me very personally, which was really neat for a book to kind of get you there.
Yeah.
So, but no, Royal City, I thought it was really, really
I went
really
back and looked, and after I was done reading the issue, I went back and looked at it again, and when each person in the family sees their version of Tommy, they're alone. There's nobody else around.
Okay, yeah.
Which I kind of thought, it's going to be like a Sixth Sense kind of thing.
But it was kind of a neat book in the sense that it made you go back, where you're going, wait, what? Yeah. Hold on. And you had to turn back. And and it was a thick issue. It was it was a thicker than normal issue. But really good, just beautifully drawn and painted.
Yeah,
and
it was great.
Just really, really, really enjoyable. So looking forward to more of that one. Was it the Pike family? So.
Pike family, yes. Next, there was this Riverdale one-shot.
I left that for you. I knew you. I was trying to burn through some books to talk about, especially since I knew we were going to be two people down. And I left that one.
Did you read that? Did you read that?
The Riverdale? No. No, I left that knowing you had read that. I intentionally didn't read it.
Okay, this was... This is.
But I know it's supposed to tie into the TV show.
Into the TV show. This is like... There's four different stories about the summer... Before the show starts,
okay.
Focusing on four different stories, Archie. Focusing on
Archie,
Betty,
the,
Veronica, and Jughead.
The VW.
Yeah. Well, Archie works. Well, he got all buff working
at. Right. I flipped through it and saw that
the construction at his dad's construction place, and Betty was in Los Angeles over the summer on an internship. And she got the news of Jason Blossom's death by phone. And then she went home back to Riverdale. And then they show Veronica. They're having a 4th of July party in New York City at their mansion. And that's when the police or the feds, whoever,
come
to arrest her dad.
Okay, gotcha.
Which...
So it's a little prequel to the show.
Yeah.
Which I wish they'd marketed it like that. I didn't know exactly what it was.
It's going to be a regular series, I guess. Or some, and but it's not going to... I saw a video with Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa.
Okay.
He said, made the point, they're not going to adapt the TV shows. It's
gonna
be
good.
It's
I was worried that that's all it was.
So her dad's arrested... And they have to move out of New York City, and Veronica's just, beside herself. We don't have to move to Brooklyn, do we?
Nice. No, we're going to Riverdale.
No, we're going to Riverdale. And then the Jughead story, the story's about him trying to figure out, he wants to be a writer, and he can't, figure out what to write, and can't get inspiration until the Jason Blossom situation. There's... Each of the stories was a different writer and artist, but it was well done. It was good. Flintstones, number 9.
Okay.
This was really good. Just, the quality in the book is just great month after month.
Yeah.
In this issue, Mr. Slate, he switches churches from the Church of Gerald to this new church of Vorp. V-O-R-P.
Okay.
And which is kind of a church for rich people or something. And he wants to be around people who are as good as he is, as he sees himself. So he fires everybody in the quarry.
Okay.
So Fred, he's beside himself. He doesn't know what to do. And so Wilma ends up buying him a new bowling ball, which is an armadillo.
Okay.
And they throw the old bowling ball away. And all the animals in the house, all the appliances, they go on a rescue mission to rescue the old armadillo from the junkyard. And I just love that little the elephant vacuum cleaner. He's just so sweet and such a noble character because he misses his friend the bowling ball. That's about it that happened in there.
Okay.
It was really good. I mean, just really, it's crazy, but a book about the Flintstones makes you think It's just so deep.
Yeah.
But just so well done. I'll be really sad when this comes to an end, I guess, with number 12. Next, I read this the James Bond book.
Okay.
Black Box, number one. This is more of a... It was good. I liked it. It was more of a straightforward Bond story. Warren Ellis did the previous series. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ellis, he could be kind of esoteric in his writing. With nothing bad with that at all. But this is more straightforward. It starts off with Bonds in the French Alps on the ski slopes. And what the... Didn't one of the movies start like that?
One of them, where he jumped off the thing and he had the British parachute.
Yeah.
I forget which one, though.
I think that was... Was it a Roger Moore?
Was that the skating one? The one that had... What's her name... For Your Eyes Only, was that it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't remember.
So he's in the French Alps, and he wants to assassinate this Corsican guy who assassinated three English diplomats. And before he gets to do it, this other skier appears out of nowhere and takes the shot.
Okay.
And kills him. So, you know, there's a few pages of the chase down the ski slope, and he finds out it's a woman. And she knocks him out with her helmet. And Bond, of course, you know, gives a little smile, which was a cool moment. And then the meat of the story: there's a hacker who's hacked into United Kingdom information, text messages, photos.
Okay.
And Bond has to go to Tokyo to figure out what's going on. He gets to Tokyo and meets Boothroyd, who, I don't know if he was in any of the movies.
Okay.
But he's like a Q character. And he gives Bond a cell phone that can copy the... any computer hard drive that's around him, or in a watch that can send out a EMP to erase digital information. And but it was good. I really liked it.
Good.
Art was cool. Kind of looks like Eduardo Risso.
Oh, okay, neat.
Who's doing Moonshine
now,
and did 100 Bullets. And last one I'll mention is Star Wars, number 29. This is the Yoda story, continuing, which is probably more drawn out than it needed to be. Yoda's on this planet of these child warriors, and they send him into this mountain that's full of the Force, and he finds this kid in there living in the mountain, Garrow, and it turns out the mountain is a living mountain.
Of course it is.
And Garrow comes out, and he teaches all his warriors how to commune with the mountain. Of course, they're feeding the dark side of the Force into the mountain, so... hate when that happens, right?
Those guys.
So the mountain starts taking vengeance, seeking revenge upon Yoda at the behest of these kids. They're called the Rockhawkers. And then they switch back to Luke, who's reading this story in Obi-Wan's journal, and he lands on the same planet.
Okay.
And finds that kid. He's the only kid there, Garrow, all grown up.
And he kills him.
And he kills him. No.
Oh, sir.
No, he...
No, he would just cut his hand off. That's kind of a Star Wars trope.
There you go. Fair enough.
No, he just says, you know, I knew a Jedi would come back here sooner or later. You know, even though Luke's technically not a Jedi yet.
Right.
But it's an interesting story. I like seeing the Yoda story, but it's kind of It's a 5-issue story. It could have been done in 2.
Okay, yeah.
But that's all I got. What do you want to go next, Pat?
Yep. So we'll start with The Walking Dead. So, spoilers in this.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Well.
Anybody die?
No. Okay. So, 2 issues ago, a giant horde was unleashed, and a bunch of them had gone out to try to divert this crowd. Eugene was amongst this group, and he started to... somehow they lost track of a large group, it then tried to box them in, so Andrea went in to try to rescue Eugene, and, you know, of course, it's, oh, they're not going to make it. Yes, they will. No, they won't. Yes, they will. So they make it out, and it appears that Andrea may have been bit. In a very similar spot to how she died in the show.
Okay.
Not the same situation, obviously, but, you know, kind of similar spot. They haven't killed off a major character in a while, so I guess that's why they're doing it.
But okay.
The book has lost steam. I'll put it that way. It's you know, fine, but it's lost steam. There was more stuff with Rick and Negan. I love their relationship. They could do several issues on just those two being together in a room, and it would be entertaining. I kind of feel like this is a swerve, and it's not going to be as we think it is.
Okay.
Which is just kind of disappointing. Especially because this week on the show, they also had a fake out death.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, all right, Kirkman, find something else to do. Batman.
I am behind on Batman.
This was the third part of I Am Bane. In this, what it does is it parallels Bruce and Bane. It's when you look at it side by side, so it'll, you know, Bruce, you know, no mom, don't die, or, you know, mother, don't die, and Bane, you know, no mommy, you know, stay with me. Most of the book is written that way, and it's really interesting how they parallel the two lives. And then at the end, we find out that Catwoman intentionally got herself captured in order to rescue the other Commissioner Gordon and Duke, and I forget who the third one was the fourth one, Catwoman being the other one.
Okay.
That had been captured by Bane's thugs earlier. This has been an interesting arc, certainly more so than when they had went to Santa Fecia. It's been good, though. Superman.
I read that.
So this was the start of the Superman Reborn arc. And Crazy Clark arrives at Clark and Lois's house, and it's apparently their anniversary, and Clark had made a pineapple upside down cake, and they're giving presents to each other and talking about what a wonderful family we have when there's a knock at the door.
Just so you know, the beginning of this, the first 5 or 6 pages, was Comic Previews Theater this month. So,
oh, okay.
If you want to hear me do Lois and John, tune in when it's up online.
Okay. I'll definitely make sure I watch that. So this Clark shows up with, it appears to be an old Kent family photo book.
Right.
And they're reading it and realizing that something's a little off. And then all of a sudden, it seems as if the house is on fire, but it's not flames. And then John is mysteriously transported to the basement and then to his room. Which point Superman rushes him outside, and he disappears.
Uh-huh. Now, I've already read part two, okay. which came out today, the action part, so
I
don't want to say anything.
It's very Back to the Future-ish in that he just disappears.
Basically, yes.
So
erased from existence.
Yeah, no, and that's very much what it seemed like. You know, Action has not been one of my favorite books, but I am very much looking forward to reading Action to see where this goes. So it definitely got my attention. Now, Superman's been a better book, but
yeah.
this one definitely set up some cool places to take this story arc. Green Lantern. Green Lanterns. It was the story of Volthoom and how he came to be. He is much older than even the Guardians of the Universe, and it shows how he first met the Guardians and how all that worked, what his relationship with Raimi is, and Raimi is the Guardian that's been hanging out with Jessica and Simon. He's the one that brought them the Phantom Ring.
Okay.
But we, you know, come to find out that he had. I'm trying to figure out how to describe this. He had a lantern that could transport him basically multidimensionally and through time and space. And he went around to different universes and you know, sought out scientists to learn about the emotional spectrum. And, you know, in one universe they were using it to create music. In another one, they were using it for all different things. And he finally got to Earth Zero, which is what we know is the DC, you know, main DC universe, Earth. Met the Guardians of the Universe. And they helped him forge the first ring. He became the first Lantern. And eventually he was betrayed by the Guardians and was imprisoned for 10 billion years. Really interesting. It also kind of tells you how Volthoom got to be in the Power Ring
okay.
over in Earth 19. Or this version of Earth 19. So it was pretty cool because it was a character you didn't know a whole lot of the history about. I mean, you kind of knew he was a scientist.
Right.
You got bits and pieces here and there, but this really focused on him. Moon Knight. So this was the third part of the Death and Life. In this, he is trying to get Anubis's wife, Anupit. He has to take her back to Anubis, and in return, he'll get his friend Crawley back.
Okay.
So he gets to where she's being held, and just as he's about to be sacrificed, Moon Knight and Mark Spector, Moon Knight and Steven, his personas, show up and help him, even though he thought he had gotten rid of them.
Okay.
This has just been a great yet confusing book, because it's, again, you know, it's hard to tell what's really going on, what's in his head, and what may be kind of somewhere in the middle. Jeff Lemire is just writing a great story, and it works well because of kind of what's been done before with Moon Knight and his dissociative personality disorder. But this is just another really good issue. And the last one I'll talk about is Green Arrow. So this one's kind of topical in that it's talking about a pipeline that's supposed to be going in, and there's protests because it's supposed to run right through the middle of an Indian reservation.
Huh.
That's interesting. Now,
that's crazy talk, Pat.
Yeah, I know. So in this, it goes back to this version of Roy Harper's earlier years. It shows him meeting Ollie, how he pickpocketed him, and then he was kind of taken in under his wing. He was the one apparently developed a different kind of trick arrows. But what was weird about this, and I don't know enough about the character, but he went to this Indian reservation because apparently he was taken in by the tribe at one point. That's how he apparently learned how to use a bow and arrow, which is, you know, kind of racist, I guess. But his brother, his quote-unquote brother, is leading the protests against the oil company, and there's conflict between him and Roy because Roy had apparently killed their father somehow. I don't know. Ollie shows up at the end, and, you know, Roy and Ollie are not getting along because Roy feels like Ollie kind of caused all these problems to take place. So it kind of confusing, and again, I don't know enough about the Roy Harper character, you know, and his background to know, is this something that's been retconned, or is this kind of always been there, or if this is not necessarily a retcon, but something they hadn't touched on before.
Okay.
And it was fine. It was kind of strange, because it was very topical, and at the same time, it was kind of like, you know, I use comic books to escape from reality. If I wanted to read this,
right,
I can
right.
watch the news. So, that's all I got.
Okay. Well, I got a bunch of number ones to talk about. First one is America number one. This is the one from Marvel. It was fine. It's... No, I'm just there. Not a ton happened. Like she broke up with her girlfriend. That was very dramatic, and she clearly has powers. I think you needed to know a little bit going into this. She's been in some other books. She's been in Young Avengers. She's the Gillen and McKelvey run. She's been in A-Force, and she's currently in Ultimates.
Yeah, I don't think you need to explain Spider-Man's origin or Batman's
right.
origin or Superman's origin. This is like a Z-list character. You might need to explain.
Yeah, where
well,
she
bit.
Comes from a different dimension. She had two moms. They were, I think, killed, and she's missing them.
Ultimate dimension or the Ultimate Universe?
I don't
or?
Think she was Ultimate Universe. I think she was even a different universe.
Okay.
You
can keep track anymore.
And yeah, and stuff happens, and basically it ends with her getting transported back to Nazi Germany, and it ends with her punching Hitler. Just, like, stepping in front of Cap and saying, don't worry, Cap, I got this. And she punches Hitler like he did on the cover of Captain America number one. Hmm. So, it was fine. It definitely, it not a book for me. My understanding is it's selling great. I have more coming in next week. I sold out. So it was fine, just definitely, you know, not a book for me, not a, you know, but I'm certain it definitely has a market. I don't remember what else all happened, to be honest with you. That's my problem reading a book a week ahead of time. It's all a blur. And the fact that I sat here before the podcast and read four other books, so
yeah,
stuff
did,
is getting...
Yeah, you front-loaded a bunch.
Yeah, stuff
of,
is
yeah.
getting pushed out of my head. Savage Things was a neat one. This is a new Vertigo book. This is from Justin Jordan. 25 years ago, the government recruited basically young children, kidnapped them from their families, and basically they're all psychopaths. Who they recruited. Very interesting opening thing where a kid comes home from school and a guy's sitting in the living room and mom and dad are dead. And he basically says, so, you know, what do you, you know, I notice, you know, you're not crying, you're not reacting, you're not upset. You know, most kids would go, mom, dad, you're not saying any of that. I want you to come work for me. And one thing he says is, you know, if I were to let you go, what would you do? He said, I would kill you. Good, come with me. And it basically shows them training these group of kids. This one's, I guess, code name is Cain, and another one is Abel.
Well, and Cain's got to kill Abel.
Right, and basically...
Headed.
He steps out of the room, he says, there are 40 of you. I will come back when there are only 20. And closes Ooh. The door, and you see two of the kids kind of grin at one another. Then it flashes forward to the present, and... There's a really gruesome murder in downtown New York City, and there are numbers written on the wall. And where what that was is that is the map coordinates where all these kids were supposed to have been taken out by drones, and so apparently it didn't take, and they're back kind of for revenge now, 25 years later. So they show the group of agents tracking this one guy, and he basically takes them all out except this one, and she gets behind him with a gun and basically says, "Abel, we need you." And so this Abel from the beginning is now being recruited to help deal with the rest. So it was good. I think I want to say it's an 8-parter, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But it was good. Typical Vertigo, dark, twisted, ugly. It's Vertigo, it's adult.
Okay.
So another one, Extremity. This was a big hit one from Image. It was one of the hot books. I had some damage, and I hopefully have the damage replacements coming next week. I didn't look. No, not yet. But it was interesting. The fun thing about doing the TV show is I look at all the number ones, and those are the ones I talk up. I'm saying, here's what's new coming from all these different companies, and this was one. So it gets me to reread the blurbs, the solicits. And this was her family, her mom was killed. Her family was attacked, and basically they're now seeking revenge. And this first issue was really neat. So basically it shows mom was killed. She was an artist. This main character was an artist. And the bad guys attacking knew that and cut off her drawing hand. And it shows her trying to recover and, draw with her other hand, and it's not as good. And she's frustrated because that was what she was. She was an artist, and they took this from her. So they go on the attack, and it's a surprise attack on these people that attacked them. And her brother is supposed to be the symbol of the rebirth of their clan or their group. And dad's leading the way. And so this is like this kid's moment to shine. And they get this guy who was like playing a violin while Rome burned. He was sitting playing music but he was playing while they cut off her hand. And so... Oh, it was brutal. Yeah, so they attack.
Hey, look what I can do. You can't play fiddle. Right. I have two hands.
Well, yeah. But basically, so they capture them, and dad has him tied up and saying to the son, okay, here's your moment to shine. Cut off his hands as retribution for what they did to your sister and the fact that they killed your mother. And he balks. He can't do it, and he drops the thing. Well, sister, she doesn't balk. She comes up, cuts off the hands. And then the very last page is, and it basically they leave this guy with no hands, with a thing around him saying, "We're coming for the rest of you." And she's sitting there, and he comes up. He says, "Do you feel better now that you took his hands?" And it kind of shows a picture of her face, and probably, no, it wasn't. So it was good. It was very good. Dark.
Cutting his hand off.
It's Image Skybound. Put this out, which is Robert Kirkman's imprint. So it was good. The first one was very good. A cute one. Brave Chef Brianna was a cute, neat little book. Basically, this is from Boombox, one of their kid book.
Okay.
But it certainly So Boombox is more their creator owned type line, I think. But it was cute, and basically what happens is dad is a very famous chef, and he is dying. And he has 15 children, 14 sons, and Brianna, the only daughter. So he says, "You have 2 months, I want you to open a restaurant, and whoever is the most successful gets, not my fortune, but will follow in my footsteps, gets the TV deal, gets all that kind of stuff." So she goes, okay, she's trying to find a place, she's trying to figure out what to do. She is very insecure, and it keeps showing this little black cloud around here of doubt. Why did you do that? That's terrible. It's basically her self-doubt. And she is trying to find a place, and she knows that the brothers are going to get all the good places. And so she decides to look a little further out, be a little bit different. So she decides to open a restaurant in Monster City. Well, she gets to Monster City, and one problem is basically Monster City is full of monsters, and that's her clientele.
So now she's got to cook children.
No, not so much that, but
that's where I would have taken
the monsters don't like humans. so she's going to have trouble getting people into the restaurant. She doesn't realize this.
It's like a mainlander trying to open a restaurant in Hawaii.
And then they also have, they're not allowed to eat flour or sugar or meat. So she has to, she makes this meal, but it's for another human as the first customer. And as he bites in, like, he sees doves. And he's like, I've been lied to my whole life. This is the greatest food ever. And so she's like, oh, great. Well, all of a sudden then when he brings his friends back, because they have no other customers, nobody will come into a human restaurant. He brings his, like, co-workers or friends in, and she tries to make something for them, but not using flour, sugar, meat, and stuff. And they all go, blah, and he's like, this isn't what I had before. So then she makes another meal, and they all have the doves. Oh, this is great, and they do all these great reviews. But you don't. I don't know if she used the ingredients they're not supposed to use.
Maybe they're using monster meat.
Maybe. But so it was cute, and then has her after a little bit of success, because as she's trying, you know, this black cloud is, you know, you're a failure, da, 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 and she's talking to her dad, everything's great, and it's saying, you're lying. So it's just self-doubt, you can tell. It was really well done. And then after she has a successful thing and these guys give her great reviews and stuff, you see her deleting the text message that she had was going to send to her dad saying, I can't do this. And stuff. So it was kind of neat. And then at the very end, it has a recipe, which is because it's kind of cool. And I don't know if it's necessarily something that she made in the book, but it was just a neat little touch.
This is reminding me of that book, Starve.
Okay.
Like a kid's version.
Yeah, so it was cute. It was a neat little book. Awesome. Once and Future Queen, this is from Dark Horse. Real simple, is a chess champion type of person goes to England for a tournament and is distracted by this girl. She's a girl and is distracted by this really attractive girl in the front row and loses and feels really bad because she was distracted and she goes for a walk. You know, her parents are like, oh, it's okay. And she's like, no, it's not okay. I lost this. I lost my focus. This is terrible. Goes for a walk, falls down, and there's a cave, and goes into the cave and pulls the sword out of the stone. And her name, Arthur. I forget, but it was like Artura or something is her last name. And turns out this girl is Gwen. And so, like, they were drawn together. And it's funny, Merlin is shown in a spacesuit. And she's like, why are you wearing a spacesuit? He's like, well, actually, I'm going backwards in time. So I've been to the future, and now I'm coming back. And basically, at the very end, she's attacked. Mm-hmm. They're at a restaurant with a guy she knows named Lance. Knight. Lance? They're basically trolls are attacking. Oh, okay. So it was cute. It was a neat little take. One thing that was really neat, the coloring on this was really different and neat. Hard to explain, but if you open it up and look at it, it was really neat. Like, each page had its own theme of coloring, or the situation had a certain coloring, but, like, there was an inset panel with Gwen in this one thing where, the whole page was green, but then this one, her thing was in browns or whatever. So it was really well done. It was really neat. I really liked the coloring on it. Hmm. So that was a neat book. I really enjoyed that. And then the last one I read was Elektra, which I didn't expect to enjoy, only because I know they changed the artist at the last minute. So I figured it was some fill-in artist and things.
And you're a Daredevil snob.
I am a Daredevil snob. This was kind of interesting. It's Elektra in Vegas, just kind of trying to, not find herself, but it was interesting. She's talking to the bartender, and the bartender is, so are you running to or from? And she's like, neither. She's just is. And in the casino, there's stuff going on behind the scenes, and, like, there are video screens. There's this one gambler offering up $10 million to do something, and there's a scene where it's a guy with his head squashed by a giant die, and the narrator, the guy standing, you can't see who it is, but you kind of know who it is, saying, oh, I really would have expected an MMA fighter to give a better fight, and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, so Elektra notices that this the bartender has some bruising, notice on her wrist, all of a sudden she cries about something and wipes it away, and you can see a bruise on her cheek. Later, she's in the bathroom, and all of a sudden, a guy comes out of the stall, basically saying, you know, she got what she deserved, and the waitress, or the bartenders in the stall had been beaten up a little bit more, so she goes to confront this guy, and takes out all the, you know, of course, takes everybody out, because she's Elektra.
Yeah.
And even takes out the head bad guy, or the bad guy that beat on this girl, And then it pulls away to say, and it shows Arcade going, aha, I think we found our main event. So it looks like it definitely has the feel of this is going to be a 5-issue mini. Okay. But the art was fantastic. I don't remember the name of the artist or who did it, but I was very, very impressed with the art. Really clean, really nice, almost like McKelvey or Gillen. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure which one does the art. I apologize for that. But very clean, very nice art. I was really very impressed with the art. Knowing that it was not a fill-in, but not the initially solicited.
And look at them using person. Arcade as a main villain.
Yeah, so that was a little change of pace. But I was very pleasantly surprised. I wasn't expecting... I didn't know what to expect, but it seemed like they were just kind of throwing stuff out there because of the Netflix show and the success of Daredevil and stuff. So, but I very much enjoyed that.
Next month they're going to solicit a Colleen Wing book?
Well, no, but Defenders is coming. So, the Defenders book by Bendis.
But next week we get Iron Fist.
Oh, gotcha. Is that next week?
Yeah, next week, next Friday.
Oh, the show.
Not this Friday.
I heard somebody said four episodes were already leaked on Netflix, so I might have to go look for those when I get home. Yeah. I saw some comic creator on Twitter that.
I mean, I'm tired of hearing people bitch about, oh, you cast Finn Jones as...
I don't understand the uproar because he's always been white. In the book. Yeah, he's always been white. So, I don't understand all that uproar. I really don't. Because of that.
Look, they could have cast an Asian actor. I wouldn't have had a problem with it. What?
Sorry. I guessed right on the Penn's predictor, but I didn't win the grand prize. But I guessed right. So, sorry. Okay. That's a. I'm sorry. So, but yeah, no, I agree. There's no reason for that uproar over that. But,
you know, if they would have cast a white actor for Luke Cage.
Yeah. Exactly. Correct. Correct. Yes.
Yeah, his blackness is a major part of his identity. But.
Yeah, he's never been Asian.
My bigger problem is not so much, I haven't seen it yet. I've just seen the previews like everyone else. Finn Jones is not known for his martial arts. And that's...
Sir Loras? What are you talking about?
Well, that's just it. I mean, when it's Iron Fist, I expect a guy that can do some badass kung fu. And granted, they can do a lot of things with wires and everything else. But I expect some authentic kung fu coming from this show. I care more about that than whether the guy is black, white, Asian, Hispanic. Who cares?
Gotcha.
So what's coming out next
week? We got a good, solid week next week. We got All-Star Batman, number 8. We got Amazing Spider-Man, number 25, the big kickoff of the next story arc and the future of... Peter Parker, what's happening? Archie, just for you, Dave.
All right.
We got Batman, Batwoman, number 1. Cave Carson, number 6,
looking
is coming.
Looking forward to Batwoman.
Yeah, I like the rebirth because it kind of got me caught back up. Because I hadn't read her in a long time, and it just kind of refocused me on what was going on. Cody and the Creepies, this is a neat one. This is Boom. Basically, it's like a band. They have a bad accident. The main character is gravely injured to the point that they might not actually be living anymore and is still playing in the band. One of them is in like a the guitarist is now in a wheelchair. But, so that's interesting. This is a Boom one.
Better a guitarist than a drummer.
Yeah, well, true. But, we have, the first batch of the, DC Designer Series Bombshells action figures are coming. So it's Batwoman, Harley, Poison Ivy, and Wonder Woman. Divinity 3, Escape from Gulag 396 next week. God Country, number 3 is coming, as well as Third Prince of number 1 and Second Prince of number 2. So if you missed that, I have those coming back in. He-Man and Thundercats, the last issue of that, number 6 is coming. JSA, the Golden Age Deluxe Edition hardcover. I'm excited about this. That was a book that I loved. I remember just being blown away by it. And I'm real happy that they're doing a deluxe hardcover because those are the things that I take home now. So I get to take this home. The replacement for the Marvel previews are coming next week, like I said earlier. If you got a bad one, I have new ones. Hopefully they are correct. Last issue of Monsters Unleashed, wrapping up this event. The Neil Gaiman American Gods is starting. We have the Stars show is coming, and this is From my understanding, it's initially an adaptation of the novel, but once it's going to go beyond the novel at the end. So that's kind of fun. Superman, the next part of the Reborn storyline, comes out next week. Vampirella, number one. Oh, Super Sons, number two, is next week as well. Vampirella, how are they going to do that? John's missing. Ah!
Kind of, it doesn't matter.
It's okay. Vampirella, number one, with a bunch of different covers. Wildstorm, number two, I'm very much looking forward to that. And that's it as far as the big things coming. So, but it is a nice, solid week of books. You know, lots of other stuff, Green Arrow, Green Lantern, all those guys are still coming.
So where can people find you?
They can find me here at the store. I never leave. No, that's how I felt Saturday. I'm like, I just want to go home. But you can also find me the website, PittsburghComics.com, Facebook, Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter, at PGH Comics, Instagram, I'm trying to do more with Instagram. That's also at PGH Comics. So I'm trying to do different things. I did a 2 for Tuesday sale on Tuesday. Shocking. And just trying to do other things. So keep an eye on stuff that's going on. Nothing big planned. We have Free Comic Book Day is now less than 2 months away. So starting to gear up. Pat was asking when the books are going to start coming. I got to start thinking about ordering the extra stuff that I like to get in. I'll probably try to order more of the Wolverine books, get a little heavier stock on those.
Book club?
Book club, the end of the month, that's on the 31st, Six Gun Gorilla. I'm out right now, but I should have more copies coming in tomorrow. So,
I'm surprised you're out for you get like four cases of it.
I had, I think, 12 copies, which is, you know, sitting heavy, but those all went. So I have four more copies coming in next week. Don't want to go too heavy, but...
No, I also, you know, you pushed that real heavy when it was
People already have it. Yeah, that's why I wasn't worried. But, yeah, so it's nice that people are getting into it because that was a really special story. I really enjoyed that. So that's going on. Temperature sale continuing Thursday because it's supposed to be nice and then things are supposed to get ugly for a while. And that's all I have going on right now. I'll do lots of little pop-up sales, lots of little different things, just trying to focus, just trying to make it fun, make you keep an eye on what's going on. I think that's all I got for now. Yeah, previews order's not due for a while. Just come read some stuff. Yeah, it's Wolverine and X-Men month, double points, so if they're, you know, focusing on the movie, we'll talk about it next week, but yeah, I really think I'll see a lot of interest in X-23 stuff, because I knew she was going to be in the movie.
Sadly,
I didn't know...
there's not a lot of X-23 stuff out
there.
There's
not a ton, but there is some stuff. And I'm expecting some renewed some interest in that. Who is this character? What has she done? And more than just like she's an all new Wolverine right now, but I think more
it
of the early
really,
stuff. No, no. But I knew she was going to be in the movie. I didn't know how awesome she was going to be in the movie. So, but that's about it. We're pricing back issues pretty much every day, so trying to get new stuff out there. That's about it. So we got a short one here.
Okay.
That's okay. So, Dave.
That's the podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. See ya.